This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Lighthouse Point Park in New Haven took on serious damage during a storm last week. Flock has signed a deal with Suffolk County to increase gunshot detectors there. Connecticut is piloting a new stormwater runoff alert system. Plus, did you know Waterbury, Connecticut was once home to a Christian tourist destination? Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Lighthouse Point Park in New Haven sustained serious damage during a storm last week. WSHU's Molly Ingram was there with officials, including the governor, yesterday, and has this report.
After the storm, Mayor Justin Elliker said it looked like a bomb went off at the historic park. The carousel building was pushed off its foundation, and the windows were blown out. 90 trees fell around the property, and many more need significant pruning. The century-old carousel itself did not sustain significant damage, but the porcelain horses have been removed during construction. Elliker says it will take millions of dollars to rehab. The state has to put in about $7 million to qualify for help from the federal government.
While we're really unlucky about what happened, we're really lucky that no one was hurt. If this had happened in the day, with kids out here in summer camps and stuff, it would have been a very, very different story.
The park is closed for the foreseeable future. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
The company that makes the controversial license plate reader cameras has signed a deal with Suffolk County to increase gunshot detectors there. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio reports the county will pay Flock Safety almost $4 million for the technology.
The Flock gunshot detectors will replace the county's current ones by ShotSpotter. The Flock detectors will be able to integrate gunshot detection with its license plate readers to help police locate vehicles that may have been near gunshots. Critics of the company have raised privacy concerns about Flock cameras and their potential for misuse by government agencies, including at a Southold town meeting last week. Suffolk's deal comes amid an increase in criminal mischief directed at cameras nationwide. A camera in Greenport has been vandalized at least twice, and a Connecticut man allegedly told police he knocked one down in Milford because he believes they're unconstitutional. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
Fairfield officials will consider whether to revisit the town's speed camera programs. WSHU's Janice Roman has more.
Fairfield representatives met with Police Chief Michael Paris at a town meeting this week to address concerns about speed cameras located near six school zones. The program has received criticism for running its cameras 24/7 instead of at dedicated times. Paris says the program has been successful at decreasing speeding. He says the goal has been to enforce safety and change driver behavior. The town will hold a meeting next week that will be open to public comment. They will vote on whether or not to revise the ordinance. Janice Roman, WSHU News.
You know that big white cross you can see from the highway in Waterbury? Well, it once marked a Christian tourist destination that's now been abandoned for decades, but it's getting a new life. That story is ahead.
Your old car can do more than sit in the driveway. It can help bring trusted news and beautiful music to your community. Donate it to WSHU. Towing is free, and the impact lasts. Start at WSHU.org, and thank you.
Long Island farmers and aquaculturalists are running out of time to apply for a tariff relief program through New York State. The Agricultural Resiliency Against Tariffs program makes $30 million available for dairy, livestock, specialty crop, and aquaculture producers to deal with the impacts of federal tariffs in 2025. The deadline was last night, but it's been extended by a week. For more information, go to the State Department of Agriculture's website. Connecticut leaders say they plan to intervene in a proposed merger between two energy companies. The $67 billion merger would bring together NextEra Energy, which owns a nuclear power plant in New Hampshire, and Dominion Energy, which owns the Millstone Nuclear Power Station here in Connecticut. AG William Tong says he worries it could pose a risk to Connecticut families who face unaffordable energy costs. He's weighing the legal options. Suffolk County is behind on its ambitious plan to replace old septic tanks with state-of-the-art waste management systems. A Newsday investigation finds the county has not met its targets on getting the newer nitrogen-removing systems into the ground, despite sizable grants available from the state and county. Some environmental advocates are calling for tighter deadlines. And speaking of which, heavy rain can send untreated sewage into Connecticut rivers and streams, which is no secret, but getting that information out to the public in real time can be a little tricky. That's why, as the New England News Collaborative's Anya Pinello reports, the state is piloting a new alert system.
Right now, if you want to know if sewage has been discharged into a body of water, you have to go to the state's sewage dashboard or visit social media. CT Sewage Spills on X. But the social media page is not getting a lot of eyeballs. Some posts have fewer than 100 views. And state officials say the current system doesn't work for people who want push notifications when new spills are reported to the state. That's why Connecticut is piloting a new program that would send out real-time alerts via text or email, letting residents know when sewage has been discharged. Once the program is up and running, subscribers will be able to sign up for all the towns they want to get alerts from. State officials say they'll pilot the new program in the fall and have it available to the public by the end of the year. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Anya Pinello.
If you've driven through Waterbury, Connecticut, you may have noticed a big white cross on a mountain. Well, it once marked a Christian tourist destination, but it lay derelict for decades. The local Catholic Church has been fixing it up, and they've debuted a new sculpture trail marking the stations of the cross. WSHU's Davis Donovan visits the new, improved Holy Land USA.
Good evening, everyone. And welcome to the beginning of a newly revised Holy Land Waterbury USA.
Father Jim Sullivan of Waterbury's Immaculate Conception Parish leads an evening mass on top of the mountain.
Lord, have mercy.
For those of you who have been to masses up here on the mountain, you've heard me say many times that God speaks on mountains.
Father Sullivan's framed by a beautiful sunset and that towering 65-foot cross. The whole city of Waterbury and the surrounding hills are laid out before the crowd of about 1,000 people.
About a month ago, Father started to talk about this an awful lot.
Jacqueline Welsh goes to Immaculate Conception. She grew up seeing the cross from afar.
That's the cross that haunted me when I was in high school and I would be out doing something I shouldn't do and I would see the cross and I'd be like, I need to get home.
But like most people here in Waterbury, she's rarely actually been up here.
Yeah, I think that I remember it being like a little bit unsettling, I think.
My daughter described it as, she was like, you're going to the haunted amusement park.
It's been decades since Holy Land USA saw crowds like this on a regular basis. But once upon a time, Father Sullivan says it drew even more people.
We're talking about the 1950s.
A local attorney named John Greco built the place.
God bless him. He and a bunch of volunteers built this out of plywood and scraps and wire mesh and plaster, and 45,000 people would come here every year for this little mini replica of the Holy Land.
But most of it's gone today. Holy Land USA closed in 1984.
And then it went into disrepair. I mean, everybody knows that.
The darkest point came in 2010. A 19-year-old woman was raped and murdered in the park.
But the cross was always there, and 225,000 cars pass here every week and look up on it. So I think for us, it's like a revitalization.
In 2013, some Waterbury locals, including the mayor, bought the land and started to fix it up.
When I was running for office, all the elderly people were saying, if you win, will you put the cross back up?
That's former Mayor Neil O'Leary.
You know, our grandparents spent a lot of time here. I mean, this was a busy place when Mr. Greco originally started it.
A new cross went up in 2013, and the site reopened during the daytime the next year.
The Most Reverend Father James Sullivan, he had a remarkable idea.
We were talking, and we said we have to do something up here.
That's Len Mecca, chairman of the board for Holy Land USA.
And Father Sullivan ran with it. I mean, he is dynamic.
Yeah.
They put up three new, smaller crosses nearby, along with a sculpture trail that follows the stations of the cross.
The 14 meditations on the life of Christ's last 3 hours on earth.
Father Sullivan again.
Beginning with his condemnation, ending with his being laid in the tomb. So what we wanted to do is to create here in this wooded area on top of this holy mountain a replication of that journey.
After Mass, Father Sullivan leads the crowd down the trail, about a third of a mile long.
Friends, take your time coming down the hill.
Maybe hold hands if necessary.
The statues are illuminated and they stand out in the woods at dusk. He gives short prayer at each one, like this one, showing Jesus stumble as he carries the cross.
The third station. Jesus falls the first time. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you are redeemed.
The site may never be the bustling theme park that drew thousands of people a day in the 50s and 60s, but Father Sullivan says it could become something just as good.
In the busyness of our lives, to come here on top of this mountain and find some respite and some peace.
But he says it's still a nice place to hold a 1,000-person mass. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
For the latest from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio, online, with our free app, and tune in here to the After All Things podcast every weekday evening. If you haven't already, please give us a follow on Instagram. Leave us a comment there. That really helps us out. We are at WSHU Public Radio. I'm Sabrina Garone. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.